Wow, okay. We like to begin our services with this greeting that Christians have been using for a long time now. The Lord be with you. Thanks. I'm hoping that, does it feel warmer in here than it does out there? Does it feel a little, okay, all right. Good. Every time somebody walks in, a fresh blast of cold comes in, it's like, oh, please, let's let the heat catch up a little bit. So we like to start our services with some singing. So if you're able and interested, let's stand.
Amen. As we've been talking about money and finances over the past month, I thought this Hank Williams song would be rather appropriate.
Would you bow your heads with me? God, thank you that in the good times and bad, whether the weather is good or the weather is bad, whether our circumstances are wonderful and we're full of thanks and praise, or whether our circumstances are awful and we just barely made it here this morning crying out for help, God, no matter what, you are unchangeable, unshakable. Your love is consistent and unfailing. We don't have to wonder if today you love us or not. We don't have to wonder if today you're still on the throne ruling and reigning or not. We can be confident in your love, in your power, in your care for each one of us. So God, today we come to you with open hearts and minds. Some of us trusting you, some of us wanting desperately to trust you, God. So please, would you help us? Help us to trust you, God. Help us to trust in your love, to trust in your power, to trust in your consistency. Thank you, God, that we can look back at our lives, we can see the many ways that you have blessed us and been at work, and we can look back even further to the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. When we see that kind of a gift from you, God, it confirms your love to us. It reassures us. If you'd love us that much, that you would give your one and only Son so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be free, so that we can be rescued from a life dominated by sin and fear and worry and shame, so we can be free to live as your sons and daughters. God, if you would love us like that, wow, thank you. Thank you for your love. We pray that today, as we pray, as we sing, as we listen to your word, as we celebrate communion and all that we do, God, by your Holy Spirit, would you speak to us and remind us of your deep, deep love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thank you. Let's take a couple minutes. Extend that peace to each other. Maybe you need to introduce yourself to somebody. I believe that Christmas is almost here, but it's true. I was just at the store. I don't want to watch that again. Make it stop somehow. Or just bring the volume down and let it play quietly. That's fine. We'll let it play silently. That's fine. It doesn't matter. I was just at the store this morning, and Christmas trees are out. Neighbors have already got their lights up. Any of you already have Christmas stuff up at your house? Oh, my goodness. Okay, well. So next Sunday, we're going to start this little series called Carols, where every Sunday we'll take a different Christmas carol, and we'll use that as kind of the jumping-off point for the message. And we figured, too, we might as well invite some of our neighbors to join us. And so we've got some little postcards that there's a whole bunch of them out there on the table. There's some sitting there. We're going to mail these to 1,000 of our closest neighbors, which means we get over to, I think, as far as Heritage Valley and just kind of the area right around us here, just to invite them to come out and worship with us. Wish them a Merry Christmas. And we thought we'd give these to you in case you wanted to invite a neighbor or a friend or something like that. If you want to mail it, pretend this little thing up in the corner is not there. You got to cover that up with a stamp, okay? That only works if you mail them in bulk and you pay ahead of time and all that kind of stuff. So that works when we're sending out 1,000 of them, but it doesn't work if you put your friend's address on there and just drop it in like this without a stamp. It's not going to get to them, okay? I don't know if it'll even come back to you. So anyway, put a stamp on, mail it to a friend, write them a little note, say you'd love to have them join you for worship one of these Sundays, And anyway, we'll see. We'll see if any of those folks are looking for a place to worship this Christmas. We'd love to have them come and worship with us. All right, did you get one of these when you came in? Little welcome bulletin, lets you know what's going on around here these days. Inside there, of course, is a little green welcome card. Love to have you fill that out and drop it in the baskets we're going to be passing a little bit later. We decided for the month of November, while we're talking about giving and Thanksgiving and all of this, that we'd do a little experiment and pass baskets for a while. I'm pretty sure next Sunday we're going to not do that anymore. But anyway, we thought we'd give it a try just to remind ourselves that giving is an act of worship. When we've just got the box in the back, sometimes it can be easy for us to forget that. And so anyway, you can drop that welcome card in the basket, share with us some way we can be praying for you, or some way God's answered your prayer, something you're thanking God for perhaps this Thanksgiving weekend. Write it on there and drop that in the basket. And if you have an offering to give, that's great too. If you look inside there too, there's some notes for the message. There's a mention of the Operation Christmas Child boxes, 46 boxes that you guys gave that went out, that are going out now. They're starting their journey around the world, and I don't know if any of you did the little trackable thing in the way you labeled them, but if you did, you'll be able to track them through the website and find out where they went. Otherwise, you just get to know that, hey, that over the coming weeks is going to arrive at some little boy or some little girl's lap, and going to help them hear the good news about the greatest gift, the gift of Jesus Christ. So thank you for those 46 boxes that you guys gave. They're making their way out. There's something in here for middle school and high school students coming up. They're going to do some stuff together. And there's some little updates on the building. Some of you, I had somebody come up to me in the first service say, okay, we've missed quite a few Sundays. We don't know what's this building thing you're talking about. Back in the summer, we decided to start looking and see if we could find a new building that we could buy, not just rent like we do here, but a place that we could buy and renovate and call our own. And we found a place we think will work great on Cayman Avenue, right across the street from, Old Fairgrounds Park? Yeah, Old Fairgrounds Park right there. It's 1115 Calumet Avenue. And it looks like, there's some detail in there, it looks like we're going to need to come up with some more money if we're going to be able to renovate that, and more than what we've got currently in the building fund. So we're just inviting you to pray and ask God what he might have you give, and then just do whatever it is that God tells you. And we're going to trust God that he's going to help us come up with whatever we need to come up with. So, all right. It is Thanksgiving week this Thursday. Wow, hard to believe. Who here is traveling somewhere for Thanksgiving? You're going to go visit somebody else for Thanksgiving? Okay. How many of you have other people traveling to see you for Thanksgiving? How many of you are just going to hole up in your house with the TV and something? Or okay, all right. No one's coming for you. You're not going to them. You're just going to, okay, just forget about all that. Because Thanksgiving is right upon us, we thought we would go ahead and give the month of November to talking about giving and finances and money, all these things, because Thanksgiving, that's what we're doing, right? We're thanking God for all of his many blessings, recognizing these things aren't just, things that we've worked hard for, but that even our ability to do work, even our ability to work a job, to get a paycheck, all of that, that this all comes from God. And so we give God thanks for all of that. We looked a few weeks ago at this verse that this thing that Jesus said back in Luke chapter 12. Beware, guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. Beware. Boy, that reminds me of like those signs, you know, like beware, caution, you know, danger. You're going down the road, and every now and then when we get on an entrance ramp and we see the wrong way signs that are aimed at people, you know, on the other ramp, we think, wait, is that for us? No, okay, that's over there. We're going the right way. And it's like just the way the sign's angled, it's like making us think that's aimed for us. You got to watch out when you see those warning signs. You don't want to be going the wrong way on a one-way street. Ask Stacy sometime. I did plenty of that when we were in college and we'd go to Chicago and we were looking for parking because we were too cheap to use a garage. And, I'd end up accidentally turning down a street that was one way the other way. More times than I want to admit. So Stacy loves to admit it, though, so feel free to ask her about it. Jesus is saying, beware. You know, don't go this way. This is dangerous. Guard against every kind of greed. Life is not measured by how much you own. We said it together before. Would you say it with me again, that last sentence? Life is not measured by how much you own. We need to be reminded of that because everything around us tells us that it is. You know, I mean, what's the big holiday happening this week besides Thanksgiving? It's Black Friday, right? I mean, it starts on Thanksgiving now. I mean, what, Kmart, I think, is that what it's going to be open 6 a.m. Thursday all the way through like 11 p.m. Friday? They're not even closing. Black Friday has like swallowed up more and more of Thanksgiving, which is all about, hey, you need to buy this thing. Now, supposedly you're buying it for someone else for Christmas, you know, but you know, it's not really how it works out. You know, you're buying it for you're getting something for them, and then you're getting something for you, you know. Something for you, it's something for me, something for you, something for me. You know, everything that we're surrounded by says that, no, life is about how much you can consume, how much you can have, how much you can own, how much you can accumulate. That our enjoyment of life is based on how much money we can spend on ourselves. We forget about all the wonderful free things that we can enjoy, and we think we've got to spend a whole bunch of money, and we think we've got to consume more and more and more. But Jesus says, look, life is not measured by how much you own. Be careful. Beware of that. Now, I know this whole topic of money and finances can be troubling to many of us because it's a source of great anxiety for us, because we've got all kinds of things going on in our life. Maybe you barely have enough to make ends meet, and you know, you've been out of work, or you've had an illness or something like that, and you're just scraping by. And it's a great source of worry. Am I going to have enough? Am I going to be able to stay housed? Am I going to be able to have food on the table? Some of you, you've got plenty of income, but because you've listened to all the ads and you've done just what a good American should, you know, your lifestyle over the years, as your income has increased, your lifestyle has inflated to fill up every last bit of income that you have. And so you got plenty of money coming in, but you got a lot going out. And so every month it's a source of worry for you too. Am I going to have enough to make all those bills, to keep all the stuff I've accumulated, to insure it all, to store it all, to keep it all safe, to, you know, it's a source of worry. We looked a couple weeks ago at what Jesus said in Matthew. He said, look, you don't need to worry about, you know, what are we going to eat, what do we drink, what do we wear. He said, some people worry about that, but they don't know that they've got a heavenly Father who loves them. They don't know that they've got a Father in heaven like you know. You got a Father in heaven who loves you, who knows your needs. If you'll put God's kingdom first, let him rule and reign in your life, and he'll give you all the stuff that you need. A very similar verse in Philippians chapter 4 that I put in your notes there. We have this on the back of our bulletin every week, along with all the prayer requests that you guys submit on your welcome cards and the things you're thankful for. But I thought, well, I gotta point this out today, where the Apostle Paul says to these early Christians, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I want that peace. And so instead of worrying about stuff, I'm gonna pray. I'm going to say, okay, God, you know that I need this, but also I'm going to take time to thank him for what he's done. I mentioned when we started this series, and we were talking about that disease of affluenza, always wanting to be affluent, wanting more and more and more. You know, that disease that so many of us succumb to. We live and breathe it every day here in our consumer culture. That one of the great antidotes to affluenza is gratitude. Counting your blessings, recognizing these things are blessings from God, thanking God for what you have. You know, when you're thanking God for the car you drive, it doesn't seem quite so old and busted. You know, it doesn't seem like, well, I've got to get the new hotness, you know, because God, I'm thankful that I've got the car that I have. And sure, eventually you may need to replace it. But you know what? For right now, I'm not going to just desire more and more and more. I'm going to be, God, thank you. Thank you for what I have. Thank you for these many blessings that you've poured out into my life. So we're going to do that some today, all right? We're going to take some time to thank God for some things, and we're going to do it in the way that some of you hate and some of you love. We're going to be interactive about it, okay? So I'm going to need you to get to a table and make sure the table is full, all right? You can't just have a table of two or three or even four of you, okay? There got to be five or six at every table. Ideally, it's not all people that are your family, but if that's how it works out, that's fine. So let's go ahead and stand up. Let's stand up and let's mix around a little bit. This is just, if you're one of those that hates it, it's only for the next 15 minutes, okay? It'll be over. And then hang on, don't get started yet, all right? All right, here's what we're going to do. I got you, I already got you together. I should have told you this first. Okay, are you ready? The first one you're going to do is thank God for people, all right? So you see there in your notes, who are you thanking God for? The Apostle Paul said in many of his letters, including the one to the Philippians, every time I think of you, I give thanks to my God. If you keep reading that letter, he's thanking them because they've been partnering with him to get the good news of Jesus Christ out around the world. And so every time he thinks of them, he's like, boy, God, thank you that these guys are in my life. Thank you for them and the difference they're making. Who is in your life that when you think of them, you thank God for them? Who is... Maybe it's somebody that's in your life today and you're thanking God for them. Maybe it's somebody who was in your life in the past and you're thanking God for the influence they made and the direction they set your life on. What we're going to do is you're going to have a second to think and, you know, jot some names down, whatever. And then you're just going to go around the table, and someone who's courageous is going to go first. Just introduce yourself, say your name, and who it is that you're thanking God for. And if you want to say a sentence or so about, like, and here's why I thank God for them, then go ahead and do that. And whoever's courageous enough to go first gets to decide which way around the table you go, all right? And then we'll give you just like 5 minutes to go around the table and thank God for somebody, and then we'll come back together, okay? Go. Okay. Everybody make it around your table? You make it all the way around? Did you guys make it all the way around your table? Yeah? All right. Sorry. Gotta stop us. Okay. So who was, how many, I'm just curious, how many of you thank God for family members? I'm just curious because that seems to be a real common one. Okay. Anybody thank God for somebody else, somebody that wasn't family and you just want to like share it or something? Oh, now the hands go down. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
My bluegrass band.
Very cool. They're like family. Yeah. Yeah, very cool. Anybody else? Who are you thanking God for today?
I was thankful for having the work that I do and being able to help people.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. Anybody else? Who are you thanking God for? Anybody else want to share somebody you were thanking God for? Yeah, that's true. Boy, when you've had bad. Cool. Thanks. Now that somebody finally said me, we can stop. Okay. Just kidding. Yeah.
I thank God for my DS.
Oh, for the retired former DS. Yeah. Now you know the current DS's wife is sitting like right behind you there. So. Oh boy.
I thank the Lord for him.
Oh yeah.
I do.
I thank God for him as well. For those who don't know, a DS, district superintendent in the Church of the Nazarene that we're a part of, that's kind of like my manager, I suppose, oversees the Northwest Indiana district here, helps churches that are between pastors to find pastors and all that sort of thing. So kind of a pastor to the pastors. All right, well, hey, let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Let's thank God for some of these folks, okay? God, thank you for these people that we've just mentioned around our tables, the people whose names we've shouted out. God, thank you for the difference they've made in our lives. Every single one of us can think of multiple people that you have used to bless us in some way. Some of them, God, are people who it was years ago, and maybe they're long gone. Some of them are people that have just entered our lives recently. But God, we thank you. Thank you for these people. We don't want to take these relationships for granted. And we want to recognize today and I want to give you thanks for these blessings. So thank you, God, for these people that you've put in our lives. Amen. All right, well, you see the second one there. What are you thanking God for? The Apostle Paul in another letter said, "Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus." No matter whether things are good or things are bad, we can always find things to give thanks for. There's never a time in a Christian's life where you just can say, you know what, it's all bad. I have nothing to thank God for, and to just turn rotten. All right? He says, no, that's not God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus, is no matter what your circumstances, to be thankful. Even if the only thing you're thankful for is that God hasn't given up on you yet, you know, that you're still breathing or whatever. But what are you thanking God for? Most of us have lots more to be thankful for besides that. So just, yeah, go around the table again real quick. If maybe just again, say your name for the sake of those that are just meeting you. And what is something that you're thanking God for? Again, you got about 5 minutes. Go. Okay. So what were some of the things you were thankful for? Anybody want to shout one out? Something you were thankful for at your table? Is this one a little tougher than the who are you thanking God for? Is that why nobody wants to volunteer? Anybody thanking God for hot water and for toilets and all of that? I heard that at one of the tables because they just are moving into a house and they're renovating and They've got the bathroom, so. Actually, I mentioned that in the first service, being thankful for toilets, because I'd read an article this last week about this tiny island nation that out in the middle of the Pacific that is slowly being swallowed up by water as the sea levels rise. The highest point in the islands is just like 9 feet above sea level. And so as the sea levels rise, they're losing their country. And sanitation is a huge issue because they're losing fresh water and they don't have a good history of using indoor toilets there. And so the water gets fouled. And it made me think, boy, I'm so glad that we have indoor plumbing and I can flush it and forget about it and it doesn't mess with my water or anything else. Oh, I was thanking God for toilets just the other day. Anybody else? What are you thanking God for? It's probably better than toilets. So, yeah. I don't know if y'all heard that bad auto accident not too long ago, and when they all walked out unharmed, very thankful that God wasn't done with them and saw them safely through. So, yeah. Anybody else? Something you find yourself thanking God for today? Now you were all talking about something, right? Oh yeah, yeah. Whether it's a doctor or a therapist or all kinds of people that, yeah, thank God for them constantly. Anybody else, something you're thanking God for? Yeah.
I'm thankful for an awesome tailgate experience.
Even with the cold. I heard it was like a Thanksgiving tailgate experience. All right. Yep. If you had to use 1 gallon buckets, it would take you 5 times as long. It'd be a, yeah. All right, let's go ahead. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray. Let's thank God for these things. Thank you, God, for all the blessings that you give us, from things as simple as toilets and buckets to things like your protection through accidents and the professionals that you put in our lives, people we can turn to for help in times of need. God, thank you. There's so many different things that we are thankful to you for. God, we never want to take these things for granted. We don't want to just pass these things by and forget about them. We don't want them to just seem normal as if something that we just don't have to think about. God, we thank you for even the simple things in our lives. Thank you for things like hot water. Thank you for shelter. Thank you for food. Thank you for work. Thank you, God, for all of the things that you bless us with. Even the ability to do work and to earn a living, God, we thank you for that as well. Thank you, God. Thank you. Amen. All right, the third one you're not actually going to talk about around your tables. The third one, because it would feel a little weird. The third one here is, who is thanking God for you? All right? When Paul was writing to the Corinthians about this gift that they were giving to help meet the needs of the people going through a famine back in Jerusalem, he said, and when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So this is like a double win here. You guys are giving this money, and it's going to help meet their need. That's a good thing already. But then on top of that, they're going to joyfully express thanks to God. You're going to be prompting them to praise God, to give glory to God who's provided for them. Whenever we make just like you were thanking God for people who made a difference in your life, who is it that perhaps if they're doing this at their church today or this Thursday, maybe before they carve the turkey and start eating, maybe they go around and, what are you thanking God for? Maybe you're going to come to their mind. Who is thanking God for you? Now you know why we're not going to go around the tables, because it might seem kind of weird, like, oh, yeah, this person's thanking God for me because I'm so awesome, so it feels kind of awkward. But just think for a minute. Whose life are you impacting for good? Every time you have a chance to make a difference in someone's life, and it could be a financial gift, like it happened with the Corinthians. It could be some gifts that you give to the church and the difference that you make there. It could be simple stuff like being encouraging to someone, being kind instead of rude, forgiving someone when they've wronged you and not holding it against them. I mean, that's a powerful thing. Who is it that's thanking God for you? We try to help you know some of the difference that you're making through your gifts to the church. In the bulletin inside here, we've got a little making a difference column when you open it all the way up and on the inside of that little flap. So things like we try to share with you from the food pantry how many families were served, or through the good neighbor offering when you give to that and we give that to First Contact, how many families were served each month, how much money was given out to help people with rent, utilities, things like that. And even just by your gifts here, like the fact that we now have a place here that, for 9 years, we didn't have a place. We just were setting up and tearing down every Sunday in a banquet hall. Now, because you guys give and help us pay the rent and utilities and stuff here, Sunday nights we can shelter women who need a place to sleep, a place to stay. You know, we can do kids ministries during the week much more easily here than when we're trying to find a place for them. You know, so you're making a difference in ways like that just by dropping money in the basket or in the box. And I mentioned before that we as a church are committed to supporting the work of the Church of the Nazarene around the world. So every dollar that you give, we give 15 cents to support the work of missionaries around the world, to support retired missionaries during their retirement, pensions and benefits plans, to support students trying to get to a Christian college with Olivet Nazarene University, scholarships, and things around the district here, Northwest Indiana. We support that. We're committed to supporting that. So when you give to Living Hope, you're helping to support missionaries around the world. We got some pictures of some of them out on the bulletin boards, out in the hallways. You can see some of the missionaries that you're helping them to be out there spreading the good news about Jesus. And obviously, as we've talked before, you know, we're trying to buy this building. It looks like we're going to need to come up with quite a bit more. We'll know better once we finally get numbers and get some contractors in there and have drawings and all of that. It's been a slow haul trying to get all that stuff done, but we don't have firm numbers of what it's going to cost to renovate that and be able to move into it, but we know it's going to be more than what we've got, and there's some details in there for you. So again, just asking you to pray, okay, God, what would you have me to give to this project to helping us have a larger place, a more permanent place where we can invest in the community and be right across from the park and all of that. That's another way that you make a difference here in your local area. So all kinds of ways that you can make a difference and that people will be thanking God for you. If you want, you can read later. We're not going to go into all. There's a whole bunch of verses on the back from 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 as Paul's talking more about the gifts they're giving and how we should give and why we should give and all of that. You can read that later. We're not going to go through it today. But I would encourage you to do that, especially as you're thinking, okay, maybe God would want us to give something to this building project. Maybe God would want us to think about how much we've been giving. You know, if you've just been giving kind of a haphazard way, when I'm at church, I'll drop something in there. Maybe God wants you to give a little more thoughtfully, a little more prayerfully, a little more joyfully as you make a difference in the lives of others, as helping other people then to give thanks to God for you. It's an amazing thing to me that God, when he answers people's prayers, when people cry out to God, God, please help me, that the vast majority of the time God answers that prayer through another person. You know, if someone's in a financial need and they cry out to God and money shows up in their mailbox, that's not because God just printed up some money and shoved it in the mailbox. You know, that's because God tapped somebody on the shoulder and said, hey, these people need help. Why don't you help them? And they stuck some money in a mailbox, you know. The vast majority of the time when God answers a prayer, he does it through somebody like you listening to what he's saying and being used by him to make a difference in someone's life. It's an amazing thing to me. That's an amazing gift in itself, to be used by God to answer someone's prayers. So my hope for you is that as we come through Thanksgiving, that not only would we be a generous people, generous with our thanks, thanking God, a people of gratitude, that's what I was trying to think of, not only would we be a people marked by gratitude and thanking God for all of his many blessings, but that we'd be marked by generosity toward others, that we'd be listening for God. Okay, God, how do you want to work through me so that others will give you thanks for the work done through me, this little thing that I have a chance to do? Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Let's pray one final time, and then we'll pass some baskets and we'll celebrate communion. God, thank you. Thank you for all of the blessings you've poured into our lives, and thank you for this gift of being used by you to make a difference in the lives of others. It really is an amazing thing, God, to know that someone's prayer was answered, that you tapped me on the shoulder and worked through me to answer that prayer, and that they are thanking you and praising you because of something that I did. God, thank you for that gift, for working through us and with us and letting us partner with you in making a difference in the lives of others. I pray, God, that you would help us to have hearts and minds open to you, that our ears would be open, that we'd be paying attention to your Spirit guiding us, whether that's money you want us to give toward a building project or just through the work of the church in general here and around the world, or whether that's a difference you want us to make in the life of a neighbor or a coworker or a family member we're going to see this week around a table, and you want us to say something to them that's encouraging, or you want us to forgive or be kind, whatever it is, God, help us to pay attention to you and to trust you that when you call us to do something, when you call us to make a difference in someone's life, that you're at work and we're just partnering with you. It's not all resting on our shoulders. We're just participating in the work that you're doing in that person's life. Thank you, God, for that joy. You were right, Jesus, when you said it's more blessed to give than to receive. We give you thanks for the opportunity to be used by you in the lives of others. Thank you, God. We pray this confident in your love, confident in your ability to guide us in a good direction. And we pray this excited about what you're going to do through us as we pay attention to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you again, God, for the generous love you have shown us in your Son, Jesus Christ, taking our sin upon himself. And on that cross, breaking the power of sin. And by you raising him from death, breaking the power of death, we have nothing to be afraid of, nothing to be ashamed of as we come to you and find forgiveness, cleansing, new life. Thank you, God, for meeting us here by your Holy Spirit. Fill us with that Spirit of Christ, that we can be a people marked by gratitude and generosity this Thanksgiving season. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go in peace. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving holiday.